You went to see the house. We were talking about the house that you came to see yesterday. Concerning the old houses. I have been a member of excavation teams. They have little tools. The archaeologists dig around the extremities of the house, and then the men in the interior part of the house. It is clear that when you are digging, that the men's belongings usually stay in a certain area, and the women's in a certain area within the house floor plan. I have been a member of excavations on two houses. They have little storage areas next to the house. These are enclosed with wood, and they are in cone shape, and I have seen these little places where little storage areas where they've had where the women's belongings have been found. They are, and also women's belongings or tools by them set aside by themselves. But I have not been in excavations where they have found just belongings directly underneath the floor. One can find things from directly under the floor, but they are usually not numerous. But this certain house has a lot of things directly under the floor. And he's got his mouth covered. Concerning this, and also concerning this house that we're excavating, why in this certain house that we're excavating, why didn't they use boneheads as part of the structure? Canada and in Kotzebue, they use boneheads as parts of the structure of the house. Can't hear the audience. They don't have a phone. I have seen boneheads, and they have used these as weights for also as under the cold porch. And when before they had any wood, they used floor bones as part of the structure. But in the new houses afterwards, they stopped using the floor bones. Before there were any wood, I have heard other people talk of this, and that they used to utilize all of the bones of the whale to use as supports, and you can see evidence of whale bones being used in the excavations. They are used as stair steps. and also as upper beams of the house. They have just have not talked about this. Wild broadfish. I have also seen the excavation site where there's a whole bunch of houses spread all over, and they have used whale bones, the ribs of the whales, and the head of the whales. There's a whole bunch of whale bones there, and there's no wood that can be seen. But I have seen whale bones, and they really treasured the whale bones a long time ago. And they're under the houses, and wherever there's little knolls. And whenever I have to dig underground, I see whale bones in a little knoll. There's a whole bunch of bones of animals that I have found. I looked for some ivory, but I didn't find any. And a little past over there, there are some old houses, house sites, currently on the smooth area. And whenever I think of these, they didn't have any wood at that time. They would try and build houses in with whale bones. Whenever we look at all house sites, especially including Waldo, we went over to Kayakfiwik, and we looked at all house sites, and it was hard to find, but our Western neighbors found them, and they would start looking for in the old house sites. And we saw harpoons, only just the base of the harpoons. But the men are smart who are looking for these diggings on the side of Wainwright on the coast. Right, Waldo? Wherever there's old house sites that we didn't know about, and there's a whole bunch of artifacts there. And so when I go to Wainwright and I go to Atanik, there's a near the spit we found a whole bunch of houses, and so I started digging with a shovel, and I digged, and I dug, and therefore I found a bone. And when I found the bone, there it was a leg bone of a human being. And I started digging some more, and therefore I found hairs of the polar bear skin. And it looked like a bedding. And then I dug again, and I found something again. I found the burial site of a human person, so therefore I went and dug it back in. And that's all I have to say, that I know this is, I'm Wur Dakalak. Wur Nirvana. the things that they have talked about here are of the land. The site that they have been digging is new from Nuuk and shooting station. There's some whalebone there. And that one's a new excavation site compared to Nuuk and Birnik. And so therefore it's not as noticeable as the other two would be. This land, Birnik, Nuuk, and Walakpa are the oldest sites, and this one didn't have any human inhabitants at that time. There's a whole bunch of whale bones in the other sites, but not in this one because it's new compared to the shooting station, Nuuk, and Walakpa. There's some standing there in those areas. And in Nuuk, the old houses, the heads of the houses are apparent. They're still standing in the old house sites. And here, where they're digging right now, you don't see hardly any bones because it is comparatively new. We have heard that it was a new site when Barrow was formed a long time ago. But Shooting Station is one of the older inhabiting areas. And a long time ago, Birnik was inhabited by people before Nuuk was. And then because of war, they fled to Nuuk. And that's why they started inhabiting anywhere. And because of war, they would flee at night. And this is why apparently there's hardly any whale bones in this site here where they're digging now. But Birnik and Nuuk have a lot of whale bones because they're older inhabited areas. And in shooting station, they were dug before in shooting station when they found the old whale bones. And there were a whole bunch of bones that they found in the excavating site in Birnik. And it's more complete in Birnik. And I used to think that they were legends, but Utpek told me that this legend was true. And they found artifacts there by listening to the story legend. Parts of the whale bones were found. And when they hunted for whales, this is where they cut it up, was in Pernik. This is how they stole it. And they found this site by listening to a story legend. And he used to think that he didn't really believe it, but they did find the artifacts. And and these type of stories that are being passed on must be stories, and they are true. Some of them must be true. This excavation site is new compared to the other ones. But it doesn't have a lot of whale bones like the other ones do. And this is all I have to say, and I'm Jonah Levitt. In 1940, when we were doing the census, I went as part of a member. There were 15 families there in Nuuk. There must have been a lot of people, but a lot of the houses were empty when we started counting and censoring people in 1920. There must have been a whole bunch of people, but there were hardly any inhabitants in the houses. There were 15 families then. They were all sod houses. Most of the houses were sod. I didn't see a big house there. I went in the winter time. But I did see one house, a little bigger house than the rest, but it wasn't inhabited at that time. 1940, this is, was in 1940, correction, not 20, 1940. I must have gone when other people left. Not understandable. My name is Waldo Botfish.
I want to relate to you when I was home in 1941, when I went up there. There was a lot of oil plants along the airport road. And I had heard that there were sidewalks. Whenever they caught a whale, they would just take the sidewalks, use the sidewalks to lay the whale bones. They said that they were around the corner, and he would place them every time he caught a whale. But there was a lot of oil bones way up there, and some drifted, but there was enormous amount of whale bones up there. At the place Kinabilak, when we were living there, there was a big whale bone head that was, we measured it, and it measured 18 foot, and that's just measuring the head. It must have been an enormous whale. And there was also the breast part. We somehow lost it. And at the airport, where Howard Hine was picking some relics, he would. Upon conclusion of the working day, he would start digging relics. At the airport, where they had the airport then. This story I'm relating to you from what I know. This question they had about the old house, that this house that was inhabited then must have been a house domained by a good whale hunter, because at that time the goodwill hunters had to improvise and designate their places by putting their whale bones along their property. Where do they get the sod from to build the houses? They used to get it from around the area, wherever they're going to build the house. He's pointing right around the surroundings of the house, right around. Doesn't have to be in it too far away. These houses that were built in earlier days are quite noticeable. That they have a certain pit that you can notice yourself as a person, and it's on the leveling stage of the building that you notice noticeably. I for one noticed it as a little boy. This question about where they get the sod when they build the sod houses, upon observing and where I live, I will relate that sometimes the sod would become old and worn out. His father-in-law would go and get some sod, looking around the surroundings of the area when he finds some muddy area that he wouldn't use it. But the top of it was not all grass, but it would be, it was located right around the weather bureau, right around up there on the hilly hills. When he finds some good sod, so he would send for my brother and I to carry it, and then he would replace the old sod with the new one. Apparently was replaced when the sod gets too soggy or wet, or and replace it with a moist sod. And my brother and I would carry that, even though we weren't very large, we would carry them by sled. And anywhere when it is very hard, when the surrounding of the house is too dry, they would try to find good soil. My name is Roxy Joyner. My name is Karona Levi Greek. I was born and raised in Coopsie, and my parents' ancestors are from Coopsie, although our relatives were from Barrow, these Masonic families. But Hopi population was a little bit more numerous. And of my family's relatives. When I grew up, we would go past Kayana to Wainwright to Cookpit to accommodate ourselves with caribou, squirrels, and then go back by the mouth of the river. And when we go up to inland to the mountains, there we would pass the houses that had been standing there for quite some time, the ancient houses. But they always tell us not to bother them. They always tell us not to leave them alone. I mean, to leave them alone. And by Anaktuvik, where Tuli's house is designated, these houses were still standing. And there is a legend by my parents that around Anaktuvik, when they were going upriver, they would live around the Indians with the Eskimos and the small people, but they don't associate with the small people nor with the Indians among each other. And then there's also a legend about two giants, Ilangan Nihlu Kupurabuglu. The third one about a woman, I forgot the name of her. The legend about the two giants, they were inhabited around the North Slope area. But there are no giants living around here, although there are some tall people, Sakyak, and there's also another tall person living around that area. And around the whales, the baleen that are sold, they try to approach my dad and finally take him up to barrel. But we ended up going back to Cookpit. And we went to Canada, to the Herschel Islands, to buy. I have gone to Herschel Island twice as a young boy. And at the time when they were out of flower around here, I recall those times. The older people, when they buried, I remember Alasura. We buried they didn't lay anything or any possessions that belonged to them. They didn't put anything that she possessed in with her. She just had a stone. And then there's another person that Imasurak that was buried at the old man. They did also put any of his possessions along with him when he was buried. They did do the traditional traditional of burying the possessions with the person, and that is the way my grandfather
Either one of you can use it. You can use these one after the other. You can use the possessions of your father until they can be no longer used. So as best as I could, I learned about the Inupiaq ways from Dr. Renziakuk, and I have learned quite a bit, and I have learned how to write the Canadian way. They would come to Alaska, and then when a person died in the Kobuk Valley, his spouse would come in, and then would remark, "Oh, my spouse has died suddenly." And he said, after his spouse had died. Then this happened within the Ichiluarok, which is a six-sided tent, and then they would make the burial area right in that Ichiluk, the tent area. And you cannot go in and steal from there because it's taboo to do so. Then the Indians and the little people used to have lots of skirmishes together, but now nobody can find out where the whereabouts of these little people. And also then they would start taking the stealing the women of the Eskimos, and then the skirmishes would start. And then in 1915, Fairbanks then we went to, my father took us to Fairbanks, Alaska. Oh, you've strayed from your topic. Then we saw an Indian, and my father told this Indian about his ancestors. And he told this Indian that his father told him that his father had not been hurt by this Indian. The Indian was very happy. That is all I have to say. He strayed from the topic and he was stopped. I am Samuel Kunam from Nootsat. When they asked about sod houses, I would like to sit down. That the sod house, we understand what a sod house is, many of us here. It is used as insulation for the houses, and as we grew up, we used it as well. Sod house is called an ivrelik. But we use the very lightweight ivrelik, which is sod, very lightweight, no gravel associated with it. It is very soft, the type of our sod that we use for our houses. No clay on it either. And when they make houses, I would like to say, concerning house building, I would like to say, when they cannot find this type of sod from the vicinity of the house building that they're doing, that then they would go off and they would bring the sod on sleds and bring it to the house structure when they can't find any around the house area, the vicinity of the house. Also the land around the house. They can also use it, but my parents do not call it ivro, because it has soil, but it has some grass on top. Then when they talk about ivro berk, then to him it is very soft when you're, you can find it in large quantities near his home area. They use that when they make the house structures. Iguana talked about it correctly a few minutes ago. That is all I have to say. How do they make coffee? How many poles do they have how many poles do they construct? For a house, and did they have an extension? We feel like these are our meat caches. They call them a givot. They are called a givot. When you make a meat cache, there are four poles. You construct them in the square. They do that when they make a meat cache. Then they place a siding on one end and another on when they are not short of wood. When they are not short of wood, they make a meat cache with a flooring on it as well, and also siding on to all four poles. In the inland area, when they make a meat cache, they place over it, they also place a little house on it, and this meat cache with a house, the little house on top, is called Saiut. Saiut is the name of the meat cache with a little house on top of it. They are meat caches, they are, we also have that call, that kind of a meat caches, they're called Saiut. That is all. My name is Henry Shangnak. Who else would like to comment? I like the sound of it. It's me again. Since I am knowledgeable about these things on meat cache, how you hang food or store the equipment. At that time, they harness the dogs all the time with the pieces of seal skin or wolf skin. And store them away on the cache so that the dogs will not get at them.
And this food cache is where we live. Where the, I think the old people recall where we used to live. Right behind the house, there was a food cache where it didn't have adequate floors to store the food, but there was kayaks and boats that was stored up there right along the side, not along the side. I think they were up there up on the cache. The archaeological survey that did some excavating here was recalling about the food caches, and that they have not, he is saying that he has not seen any storage along the side.
They placed them in the back because they can store the canoes and the sleds so that there won't be obstacles in the way, in the front and on the sides of the house. And other houses, they are stored way down by their, down, way down, a little further away from the house, so that they are not sawed under. They use whale bones, whale jaw bones, and they store the boat even without the skin up on the, so that they will not be destroyed by dogs or by things. This is all I know, and my name is Roxy Kona. Boy, I sure do know how to talk. And I have seen in Wainwright meat caches, and they make cache the way Iguana talks about. They really put them like pilings way down there, the tree poles, long tree poles, four poles, and then they put a plank up on the top. They are not cut up, they're standing firm, and then they put wood up on the top, and they store things up on the top, and they also store skins, seal skins, and they cover them with these seal skins, winter clothing, and I have seen that. And underneath that ikirat, they also have two other layers, and they put the sleds on one layer, especially after they have stopped sledding. And then on the other layer, they put hangings of polar bear skins next to, and on the side of the poles, there's skins, tan skins, and they're bleached. They let them out to bleach. They hang them up for bleaching. And this is what I have seen. And then on the other side, they have another cache for storing the boat. There's poles so that it won't fall down, and without the boat can be put up there without skin or with skin. And then they also put the kayak underneath the boat. I have also seen that when they have stored them in this way. And I am now telling you about what I have seen. My name is Veeranavana. Next, Arthur Nekok. I have also seen cash for boats in Nuvuk when we were kids. There were a store place for the boats. They used whale bones, and they were called tatigiñik. Tatigiñ. They're big. It's long, and they use them for storing boats. My name is Arthur Nekok.
For me.
for the animals are going to be placed to they hang them up to dry on top of the leaf cloth. And so that they can just be obtainable in the winter time. And this is what I have seen in the land where we grew up. And we grew up calling them the Gilmer leaf cloth. And when they're going to make canoes or sleds, how do they work these? They do them outside, near the house, here.
After they have been broken down and then return to prayer, they think from the book or from Dara, and that is how they ask and how they will. When they depart from the book or from prayer, they would gather them from equipment. The archives that the ancestors used and sing it. Therefore, the weapons used and therefore, the tools they used. And they use as the burn tiles for the sun. And when they use the burn, they tie them up with numbers after they only had death for them. And when they use the hands, they use the burn. They have them to grasp the harvest. It's just around the time when I was raising up the ark, just to show them quite that time. And to prepare, they would prepare their tools right around the area when they prepare for their boat, when the weather is fine. But in the winter time, they have the only work of creation. They do work on various things by making that in turn to life, turn into life, they would prepare for temple preparation to that day. And then they would help one another when they find out that if another person is struggling something, and they find out they need help, they would help each other. And then they would help the women bring their food. And only time they go home is in the evening when they're ready to sleep. And the women would always get their prepared food. They would always bring it to them. As for my dad, he would be gone the rest of the day. And he would only return home to sleep. And that was the way and extended breath like that for a long time until we breathe ourselves and to breathe it. For our peace and the strength we use for our peace. Let's see if my oxygen but here I use to the same but here they also use all the facts for to make the clear. This is the way that they, their lifestyle works, and that's how they worked a long time ago, and I can't name all of them. But I will name only the ones that I have known. My name is John Herbert. I will talk about, I didn't hear him, in 1910, they were wonder holders in Kayak Service, people from Kayak Service would go on to the coast in between Kayak Service and in between here and Kayak Service camp. And wherever they camp, they would gather up the wood from the seashore so that they could work on them and make weapons and tools for boats. And if the wood was spilled, they would work on them and they would make them light and durable so that they could be used for tools. And the same family would use the boat. I have seen a lot of people from Icy Cape, and there were 60 families. And they all had boats. And they would work on it. And when they returned to Kayak Service, they would start working in the Kayak. They would help each other out and work, and they would also make boats. So the family that wanted to make a boat, they would help them. And then they would finish them in no time at all. Whatever they made, sled, boat, anything. They would also teach them how to make it. And this is what I have seen in Kayak Service. And I have talked about it. They helped each other and they used to put it in their heart. Especially wherever they were going to be living. And in real life, I have also seen that happening. They had a kayak outside, and they would use that place to make the boats, and they also used tarpaulin, you know, to shelter themselves from the cold weather, whether they made nets, sleds, whether they made hooks, they would take them, especially if they didn't know how to make them. They would work together and finish what they had started out in a very fast pace, and I grew up as a young girl watching this. They would come with patterns already made. This is how they used to live a long time ago before us, and we have changed that completely. We are living in an easy luxury. And it was hard to take a long time ago. But presently, because he likes to work for free. We are sitting right now and it's time for supper. There is a bus outside and there will, if you will wait a little longer, they'll have it prepared in no time at all. Thank you for this evening.
That's the end of the taping for today, and that's the end of this tape.